But I want you to think about your needs in one more distinction. Think of each one of these needs on a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 is no fulfillment and 10 is total fulfillment. You know, by drinking alcohol, for example, you might feel a sense of variety, a change of state, that on a scale from 0 to 10 might feel as good as a level 3. But it's not totally fulfilling, is it? Because it's going to bite you the next morning, and you know it. So it's not totally fulfilling, unlike something where you know there's no downside. It only feels good. Those tend to give you a level 9 or 10. So one of the seductions in life, as I mentioned, is that very often we want to make a change. And we say, why can't I get myself to change? Why can't I get myself to stop overeating? Well, I'll tell you one reason. Because right now, you perceive that eating gives you certainty you can be comfortable, and it gives you variety. Or you perceive that doing drugs or using alcohol, you're certain it'll give you a change of state, a surprise, a variety. So it's very difficult when it's meeting some of your needs, but it doesn't meet all of them. And part of what I'm going to show you how to do in this tape is to develop some new patterns of fulfillment. So you don't just get rid of something. If you ever try to stop smoking, and smoking used to make you comfortable. Smoking when you're bored gave you something to do, gave you some variety, some distraction. If you don't find a new vehicle that's just as easy to use, that'll give you that comfort and variety right away, then you're going to go back to smoking. You're going to go back to drinking. That's obvious. That's the biggest problem. Discipline never works because discipline says, I'm not going to do this vehicle anymore. But discipline's not enough because if you don't replace the vacuum, your needs still have to be met. So you go back to the old vehicle you know works. Doesn't work perfectly, doesn't work well, but it works enough that you're going to keep doing it. Does that make sense to you? What else do people do? I'll tell you, in relationships with some people do, things get so certain, they pick a fight. Because guess what? You know, this relationship's too predictable. It's too good. Let's do something here, a great little variety in here. And they don't do it consciously, but they do it unconsciously just to get some difference going. Now, some people just go get a new relationship for variety, or they go get a new job, or they get a new location to live in. But you know, the problem with all these is they don't last. You can get variety by a simple conversation. If we have a stimulating conversation about some new idea, it's fun. It's variety. But it doesn't have anything negative to do with it like some of the other things we've mentioned. You can take on a brand new challenge, and taking that challenge creates some uncertainties in a positive sense that'll make you grow. You can do something like learn something new, or you can do what I call re-chunk your focus. Start to notice the little things. So hear me now. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what your environment is like. There is variety there. You just have to look for the difference. But see, unless you know what the goal of the game is, you're going to miss out. You got to say, how do I get variety? And by the way, that's what I want you to answer right now. How do you tend to get certainty in your life that you can have comfort? Do you avoid situations, for example, that you think might be confrontational because then you're at least certain you can be comfortable? Of course, it never works long term, does it? Because it's really not good for you. It's not good for the other person. Feels good. Doesn't serve the greater good. What class is that? That's right. Class 3 experience. You want to avoid class 3 experiences. And they're very seductive because in the short term, they tend to meet a little bit of your needs. But I want you to think about this. Each one of these needs, whether it be certainty or uncertainty, this need for comfort or this need for variety, they have a 0 to 10 scale. 10 is total fulfillment. 0 is nothing. A lot of times, for example, you could go try and control other people and be somewhat successful at it, so you feel a level of fulfillment of maybe level 4 on a 0 to 10 in the area of sense of certainty. I'm controlling people. But it's not really totally fulfilling. But it's fulfilling enough, you may not change. So I got a question for you, because I'm going to show you how to change these things if you want to in a few moments. Tell me this. How do you try and get certainty in your life? How do you try to be certain you can be comfortable, you can avoid pain and gain pleasure? What are some of your strategies? What are some of the good ones? What are some of the ones that may not be so good? I want you to think about that. Because by the end of this tape, I'm going to have you make a list of these. You don't have to write them down right now, but I want to start planting the seed in your mind. How about variety? What are some of the ways you create uncertainty in a positive sense? What are some of the ways you create surprise in your life? How do you create those kinds of challenges and that diversity? So now, we understand the paradox between these two needs. What do we need? We need certainty / comfort. Certainty we can be pleasurable, we can avoid pain. And we need uncertainty, a sense of variety and surprise. And there is a way to meet both of these. Now, let's go to the third need. The third human need. The third goal of life for all human beings, whether they know it consciously or not, is we all have a need for significance. Significance. Now, again, we all have different words, different linguistic impressions of what these emotions mean. So I'll give you some other phrases that mean significance. We all have a need to be needed. That's one way of being significant. We all have a need to feel important, a need to have a sense of purpose in our life, to feel like we're unique in some way, to have a unique sense of meaning for our lives. That's all about significance. This is not a desire. This is not something you just want. This is a need. This is up there with your physical needs. This is the emotional need of your life that drives all human beings. And this is the driving force in human beings' lives. So what do I mean by this? What are ways we do this? Well, let's look at vehicles really quickly. One of the ways that you can feel significant is tear everybody else down. See, I'm more significant than you are because you're terrible. That's one way. And unfortunately, this is what happens with a lot of people in the culture. Another way to do it is violence. Listen, if I live in the hood in LA and no one's paying attention, they make me feel like I'm unimportant. I pull out a gun and stick it to your head. You watch how fast I'm significant. Instantaneously, I'm a significant person. See, it's one of the reasons that violence has been with humanity for so long, because violence is an instantaneous way, instant way, to be significant. If you didn't have any education, any background, you didn't work in anything, you've been frustrated, overwhelmed, you're violent, you're significant. And unfortunately, it works, and that's that. When something works, when something meets a need, you're going to see it over and over again. Because if there's one phrase I'd like you to think about, it's this. Whatever human beings do, they have a reason. And the reason is, at some level, they believe that their current behavior, their current approach, either consciously or subconsciously, they believe it's going to meet one of their needs. Even if it hurts other needs, they know it's going to meet one of them, so they do it anyway. What's another way of meeting the need of significance? Well, some people do it through a negative identity. Well, if I have a disease, if I have some psychological challenge disorder. So here this person has this tremendous feelings of fear and pain, and they feel down all the time, and they're depressed, and they don't know why, and they don't know what it is. And so then they go to a well-meaning psychologist or psychiatrist who's been trained to look for these specific criteria, these specific symptoms. And when they find them, now they know what they can tell them they are. Now you are a manic depressive. And the person's like almost relieved, like, oh, it's not my fault. That's me. And then they tell everybody, say, oh, you know what? It's amazing. I went to a psychiatrist and I know why this is happening to me. It's because I'm a manic depressive, or, you know, it's because I'm an obsessive compulsive. Now we have this wonderful term. So guess what? Two things happen. Now I am certain, at least, why this is happening to me. I'm also certain that it's not my fault. It's, of course, a disease. But more importantly, it gives me significance. You know, you don't understand. This is the way I am. You know, I can predict it. You got to be able to know that this is what I got to deal with. It's just part of what I'm dealing with in my life. Plus, some people almost brag about it. It's like a badge of courage. Some people getting ill gives them significance. No one was paying attention. No one made them feel important or needed. And suddenly they're ill or deathly ill. And everyone comes and spends time with them. Suddenly they become important. See, subconsciously, our brain learns many ways to meet needs. And some are destructive, some are neutral, and some are very positive. What are some other ways of doing it? Well, a positive way is some people feel a sense of significance by learning certain things, by knowing the answer. And by knowing the answer makes them feel like they have a special purpose, something they can contribute, something that's unique. Some people do it by just degrees. Doesn't matter what they're learning. It's the fact that they've achieved certain letters after the name. And that means uniqueness. That means distinction. Listen, when you hear the word doctor, that brings up a different distinction. Senator. That brings up a different distinction. And depending upon what people do in life, everyone wants significance. Now you might say, well, I'm not like that. I'm not into my ego like those people. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not seduced by all that materialistic crap. Not me. I'm a lover of God and people. I feel united with all that is. And yet, isn't that your way of feeling significant? To know that you have a relationship with your Creator. To know that you have that understanding. That's your way of getting significance. So don't make somebody else wrong because they picked a different vehicle. They're not wrong, you're right. They just picked a different vehicle. The differences in people are not their needs. We all have the same needs. The difference is merely the vehicles we've learned to try to fulfill them. That's where the conflicts come up. Because we tend to look and go, that person is wrong because they try this approach. They're not wrong. They just made a different choice. One that may be less fulfilling than yours, or may be more fulfilling than yours. It's hard to judge. It's hard to make a clear evaluation of what's most fulfilling through the filter of your own beliefs. But just remember, there are lots of ways to do it. What are some other ones? Well, there are those other materialistic ones, like collecting all the toys, right? Or achieving a lot. You know, by achieving, one feels a sense of uniqueness in their life, a sense of purpose. Sometimes someone feels a sense of significance, right? Like they've done something that's important. All these things drive human beings, and aren't we really interested in knowing what drives us? Because if you know what drives you, you can learn how to turn it on. And you don't have to get that temporary leverage, you know what I mean? Where you say, oh yeah, I want to work hard so I can lose some weight for the next 2 weeks so I can fit in this outfit. You know, I'll be really looking good for the party. But see, that doesn't last. Drive is when you start seeing your body as the temple of God. Now what you do with that body may be a different level of significance. Remember what I've said, if you change your perception, you'll change your level of fulfillment, any one of these six human needs. And I know this idea may not have taken root yet, but it will. You'll begin to understand as I wrap these up. But let's come back to this then. What are the other ways of doing this? Well, some people do it just through style. They have a sense of uniqueness by the way they dress, by the way they speak, by the way they move, by all those funny, weird things they do. Some people feel significant because they're eccentric. They're crazy, they're bizarre, and they take great pride in it because it makes them unique, it makes them different. What's another vehicle for this? How about children? Well, you know what's interesting? When I ask women, and I look for women what their needs are, and I come to significance, the words that they usually claim first without me offering them is that they have a need to feel needed. Now, this is not a sexist comment, it's just what I can tell you cross-culturally. I hear the most, at least in the English language and the translations of it. But men talk more about feeling important. Now, I know both of them have both needs, but linguistically, it's what people tend to represent. And it's interesting that more women will usually communicate meeting their needs through their children than men. I think that may have a lot to do with cultural conditioning, unfortunately. But children are certainly a form of significance for most of us, if we have the privilege of having them, at least. Now, what's another skill? Well, developing a certain skill set can make you feel unique or significant. And, you know, for me, one of my ways for doing this is feeling like I have an extraordinary level of compassion. That's part of why I give so much, way beyond what people would expect, because it meets one of my needs to feel like I have a unique sense of purpose, I'm doing something unique in life, that I'm giving something in a special way. That sense of uniqueness and giving and specialness is something that I get back out of my giving. So that's part of what drives me. Everyone's got their way. What's your way? What is your way or ways? What are the vehicles you use to try and feel significant? Some people use money. Some people use friendships. Some people measure it by who they know. Some people use learning. I mean, what way do you use? I mean, really think about this for a moment. What are the things you do that make you feel significant or unique or needed? Where in your life do you have that need being fulfilled? It's an interesting idea. But let's take this to the obvious extreme again.